And ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, welcome to Voices from the Grid. This is the White Ranger, Michael. Are we at White Ranger version now?
Yes, we're post power transfer at this point. You are the White Ranger. We've had this conversation three times now.
Okay, just making sure. You've been a little sus lately, but joining me is the Red Ranger, Sasha.
The one, the fabulous, the still lead ranger, Red Ranger Sasha, because unlike the Power Rangers, I have not left the show. So, I'm still the bossy one.
You're still really sus.
I have no idea what you're talking about. I'm an angel.
Anyways, today we're doing Goldar's Vice Versa, Mirror of Regret, and when is a ranger not a ranger? And, you know, I'm not going to lie. Part of me wishes the third one kind of went with Ben. But, you know...
You're the one that assigned the
episodes. I know. Which is why I'm the White Ranger. But you know what? It's good to have you doing it too, because I know Ben's going to find a way to talk about it one way or the other. Because that's what Ben does when it comes to the greatest ranger of all time, Adam Park.
I promise on behalf of our fabulous and amazing Black Ranger to try to do justice by Adam, even if I refuse to clock in the moment he appears. But I promise to do him justice. Because Adam is actually also, I will say that he was not a character I really remembered vividly, but he is a character that always appealed to me. I just like, anyway, let's get on with the show. We'll talk about it then.
All right, so we're going to start off with Goldar's Vice Versa, everyone's favorite segment in my mind, the quick run through, which begins with a newish intro because we need to introduce the three new Rangers. At the youth center, we see Adam and Rocky sparring, Billy arriving late, and Billy helping with the dance. Both Billy and Adam don't have dates. Oh, wait, never mind. Here comes Laura. LOL. Meanwhile, Bulk and Skull have admirers. Ooh. At school, Aisha talks up Sarah Davis to Adam. Bulk shows Skull a note he got in his locker. At the park, Adam gets cold feet, and then putties appear, and Adam gets rid of them quickly. At the youth center, Aisha and Adam see a new girl showing off her martial arts skills. New girl is Sabrina, and she goes right to Adam. Aisha feels off by Sabrina, however, and Sabrina be evil. Oh, yeah. At the park, Sabrina is dismissive of Aisha. Goldar appears, and Sabrina reveals herself as Scorpina. Oh, dear, dear, sweet Scorpina. How we have missed you so. Aisha and Adam are captured by Goldar as they are tied to the tree. Lots of tree tying here in this season, I have to admit. Back at the youth center, Bulk and Billy and Kim mention Sabrina, but Miss Appleby informs them that the last new female student is Aisha. At the command center, Alpha shows the others Adam and Aisha's situation. Cleaner morph calls this time around. The Rangers take on the putties, Goldar and Scorpina. Aisha and Adam morph into action. Zed makes Scorpina and Goldar grow. The Rangers call upon their Zords. Tommy calls upon the power of the Ultra Megazord. Scorpina and Goldar retreat. Zed is not pleased. And then at the dance, Adam is asked to dance by Sarah. Bulk and Skull's admirers finally get their men. And that is Goldar's Vice Versa.
I don't know where to start with this episode.
The fact that Bulk and Skull have admirers?
You know, given the fact that they're kind of the female versions of Bulk and Skull, and that like the female version of Bulk is really into Skull and vice versa. So like, it's funny, but it's like, I feel bad for them because they're not really interested in them, and the girls basically trick them inadvertently, because I don't think the girls intended to trick them, but it was kind of unavoidable almost, you know.
Those admirers wanted them. It was purposefully done. They laid their trap.
Yeah, I feel bad for Bulk and Skull because, like, first of all, like, I know it's the 90s, but my, like, 21st century brain is basically like, this is a little weird. Like, girls, no means no. But that's not the focus of this episode, because this episode continues Bulk and Skull's story of being interested in finding the identities of the Power Rangers. What is interesting here is that we continue the story of Adam Park. And this is, I think we got a little bit in Power Transfer. We got to see a little bit of the beginnings of who this character is. But here we sort of get to see a little bit more of the insecurity that's sort of been hinted upon in a lot of the previous episodes. He's bummed because he doesn't have a date. And Billy's like, oh, I don't have a date. I'm like, cool, you can be each other's dates. Oh, wait, it's the 90s. Never mind. And of course, like, as soon as Billy says that, Laura shows up, which, like, kudos to them for actually having a, like, reoccurring character. You know, that was actually kind of nice. Yeah, I appreciated the fact that, like, Adam really got to shine. And we get to see those insecurities. Also, what was this girl's name? Sabrina was the most obvious bad guy, like, in the history of Power Rangers.
And funny thing is that the actress who played Sabrina / Scorpina, her name is Sabrina Liu.
Great actress. Like, I actually really liked her. I wish she would have stuck around a little bit longer as a bad guy or like a female foil to Zed. But we'll get to that. We'll get to that. Sabrina was super obviously the bad guy. But actually, I have a note from the beginning of the episode. There's the demonstration that they're doing at the beginning of the episode. It just looks weird. Either it was choreographed poorly or it's trying to overemphasize the difference in martial art style between like Jason and then Rocky and Adam, but it was weirdly out of sync and it didn't mesh well. And I just didn't quite get it.
It's just two dudes sparring. No big deal. Yeah. We see this all the time at the Youth Center in Angel Grove.
Well, yes, but it should be at least like a choreographed fight that looks cohesive.
Cohesion, it's Power Rangers, a kids show, technicalities.
Also, Aisha and Adam could have been a really good couple. Like, I don't understand why she didn't. Like, I get in Power Rangers, only two Rangers are apparently allowed to date each other at a given moment. And right now it's Tommy and Kim. So, yeah. But what I think is actually really good is that we don't really see too much of Tommy in this episode. Or Kimberly that much. And Billy only appears in like a handful of scenes. This is very much like a Adam-centered episode. Like, everybody makes an appearance enough to establish themselves that they're a team, that they're friends, but they don't take over like Tommy has a tendency to do of the story. And I appreciate the fact that Kim was the first to recognize Scorpina. She's like, oh, it's Scorpina. And the Rangers are like, who's this? I'm like, you didn't fill in the Rogues Gallery. Like, you didn't post pictures of like, besides Lord Zed, you didn't post pictures of, like, Rita and her henchmen so they would, like, know everybody. I feel like even on the chance that Rita doesn't show up, which we know she can come back somehow, like, you should have prepped these kids a little bit, but Zordon doesn't do that.
Especially the fact that, you know, it's well known that Scorpina is Goldar's wife. Except it's never really hinted at in the show. So what it is that in the Sentai, Goldar and Scorpina are husband and wife. In Jew Ranger. And actually the last episode of Jew Ranger, Scorpina and Goldar have a kid. And when they get put back in the dumpster and they get banished, that's actually when they have the kid and stuff like that.
I hope they have enough nappies in the dumpster. That's all I'm gonna say to that. But ooh. Okay. Good for them, I guess.
We can't have too many couples in this. I mean, we got Tommy, Kim, we got Sue and Zed and Rita.
Yeah.
Sorry, Goldar and Scorpina. You just can't make the cut this time.
Yeah, if we have three couples, then it turns into a soap opera with those Zord battles, and you know, the kids aren't gonna go for that.
Or maybe they will.
Can we please stop kidnapping Adam, Rocky, and or Aisha? Because, like, this is what, the fourth time they've been kidnapped? Third time?
Ninja encounter.
Right.
Power transfer, they got captured and tied to a tree. Adam and Aisha got tied to a tree in this episode.
So this is three times now.
Yeah.
Almost back-to-back episodes, with the exception of like Global Proportions and Zed Waves. Stop. Like, I appreciate the fact that the Rangers are able to break out and whatever, but it's still ridiculous. This is the third time they've been tied to something. I'm starting to think Goldar just wants to tie them up, and that's inappropriate for a kid's show. Goldar, don't do it.
Listen, we know Goldar. When he hears Rita yell, "Make my monster grow," Goldar has said no quite a few times, and Rita still has not figured out that no means no. Is this Goldar finally going, well, Rita's not around, I get to finally be the dominant one?
And no, because he's still Zed's little rhymes with witch. So I will say that, like, again, Lord Zed's tactics are, I guess, actually, this is one of his better tactics. Because his idea is to actually screw with the Rangers by bringing in someone into their normal life that turns out to be the bad guy. Scorpina's execution was a little bit weak, and she made herself way too obvious by like brazenly hating Aisha, but it works. Tommy taking on Goldar and Scorpina by himself seems weird and unnecessary. Like, they're the two strongest of Zed's generals, and I'm sure we'll see Scorpina again. I figured not. That was my low-key sarcasm voice.
And Michael just not shaking his head no, which is sad.
They can put two and two together.
Which is really sad, because, like, let's be honest.
Lots of wasted potential, but wasted potential is the subtitle for most Power Rangers
seasons. It's not a matter of wasted potential, but it's also just the fact that it's just such a good character that just never, like, and it kind of stems off of the Sentai, where they didn't, I guess something came up with the actress who played Scorpina originally in the Sentai, and because of that, there wasn't much footage to work with, even though she is a really good character.
I feel like, given that they replaced Rita with another actress later on, they could have figured out something, but...
Well, that's what they did with Sabrina Liu. Sabrina Liu was essentially the replacement to that actress for Scorpina. So the fact that they never really continued on with her is kind of mind-boggling, given how, especially the fact that they keep crediting the character in the end credits of every episode.
Waste. Okay. Yeah. So Adam's random non-romance with this girl, Sarah, was okay. Not gonna lie, I kind of had to turn my brain off a little bit of like, sort of like, this could have been a very interesting story if it was not told in the 90s, kind of a thing. But I don't think we'll ever, like, I will cry tears of joy when we get a non-straight power, canonically non-straight Power Ranger. Anyway, but like, going back to Tommy taking on Goldar and Scorpina, first of all, the other Rangers don't really have anybody to take on in the meantime. They just have to untie Aisha and Adam. So Kim or Billy could, or both actually, could easily help him fight Goldar and Scorpina while Rocky goes and unties Aisha and Adam. Like, what a novel concept. You have six Rangers and you kind of don't know what to do with them. I do feel bad for Bulk and Skull. They were clearly more focused on Power Rangers and have not discovered the girls are a thing yet, except for Kimberly for some reason. But although Bulk did flirt a little bit with Aisha for like two whole seconds, maybe they don't want to date caricatures of themselves, because honestly, I wouldn't want to either. That's just weird.
Which I think was part of the message that they're giving out.
To be honest, I don't think there's a specific message attached to this, really. I think the part about this is that, like, sometimes the boy you like doesn't like you no matter what you do. But yeah, that is Goldar's vice versa.
Yep. Which brings us to our next episode, which is Mirror of Regret, which is another Adam Park-centric episode.
You couldn't really give all the episodes to Ben.
I you know, breaking the fourth wall down. So, like, when I did this, like, I don't remember what episodes were centric to what characters and stuff like that. I just looked at it and go, okay, I need to break this down so I can evenly spread out the episodes amongst everyone, you know? I don't know going into it. Like I knew Rocky going to have fun. That was a Rocky episode because his name's in the thing. You know, Blue Ranger Gone Bad. It's a Billy episode. It's essentially implied. But like a lot of these other ones, I don't remember as much. Maybe I'll watch all season three first. With
or doing, you could just read the plot descriptions on Wikipedia.
Yeah, that too. Anyways, Mirror of Regret. Everyone's here. Segment in my mind. Quick run through of the episode, and we begin at the youth center where we have Adam and Rocky teach a class, and we got a bully in the class. Adam talks to Sean and gives him words of encouragement. Zed looks to use Adam's past weaknesses against him. Adam works with Sean. Zed plans to use the Mirror of Regret against Adam, and then at the park, Adam continues teaching Sean. At the command center, Alpha is working on the power cannon. Back at the park, Goldar and Putties attack Adam. After disposing of the Putties, Goldar summons the Mirror of Regret. Goldar shows Adam his past, and Zed is pleased and contemplates his next monster. And he chooses a laughing hyena. Because I think this is also around the time of Lion King, so sure, let's go with
no,
that.
No, because...
Zordon is alerted of Zed's new monster. Zordon briefs the Rangers of Adam's situation and of the monster. They morph into action and take on the Putties and monster. Adam breaks the spell and wrecks the Putties. Like, he literally just wrecks them. He just goes, like, full-blown, I'm going to start a hockey game with these guys and just wreck them. Adam then morphs into action. Adam joins the others, and they get the power cannon, and they defeat the monster. At the youth center, Sean's bully is impressed by Sean's improvement, and he apologizes to Sean to end the episode. All right, now you can go on about the Laughing Hyena, Lion King, and other stuff.
Okay, I actually don't know when this episode came out, but...
I'll look it up right now.
So maybe it could have been, but like we see Tommy actually working on a paper about hyenas. I think it was Tommy. At the youth center, because the youth center is, you know, the place where the cool cats come to work on their homework and drink some soda. The lesson of the week here, I don't appreciate. It's basically like, if you're being bullied, get better at that thing you're being bullied about so you don't get bullied anymore.
Or just do what I do, just make fun of yourself so the bullies can't make fun of you because you already took the advantage of making fun of yourself as the joke.
That doesn't work with girls. But so I get it, but it would have been better if like maybe he saw the kid struggling and after Adam talked to the bully decided like, oh, I'm being a jerk. Maybe I should help this kid. And then together they get better. But this episode is not about the terrible child actors. This episode is actually about Adam's self-confidence and it actually comes to a head. And Ben will appreciate it that in both of these episodes, Adam shows up at the very beginning of the episode. So there, Ben, I don't have the exact number. I gave you your little shout out.
Okay. So I just looked up the IMDb. So this episode aired on November 14th, 1994. The Lion King released in theaters June 24th, 1994.
So it was several months later, but I guess the hype hadn't died down yet.
Yeah.
Whatever.
Plus, not only that, but they also worked with whatever Sentai they had as well. And if they had a Laughing Hyena, talk about timing being perfect.
Yeah. Let's talk about Bulk and Skull in this episode. They are one part karate, and at least they're just kind of, and then the rest is they're just loud. Also, like, I feel like Rocky and Adam missed a golden opportunity of being like, hey, you're like clearly trying to learn this karate thing. Maybe I can help you. Or something, you know, because he's perfectly willing to help a kid. And like Bulk and Skull look like they at least want to try. They just have no idea what they're doing. If only a Truth, Justice, and the Angel Grove Way character could help them. Somebody righteous, somebody full of good things and goodwill towards man and blah, 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 blah.
But the thing is, though, is that with Bulk and Skull and the karate stuff, they've established since essentially the very first episode.
Literally the only time it was established.
No, they've done it a few times since then.
Yeah, and to be honest, it's not like the Rangers are really interested in helping them. Anytime anything comes up, it ends up being slapstick and they end up kind of being the butt of the joke. I feel like if somebody like Adam legitimately reached out to them and was nice and said, hey, you know, let me teach you like one-on-one or two-on-one or whatever, like actually put in the effort instead of just looking at them like, oh, they're just bullies, they're just morons, and dismiss them, there's potential. But we've talked about the real heroes on the show.
But also at the same time, let's put this in perspective too. All the other times we've seen Bulk and Skull involved on the karate side of things, it's always been with Jason and Zach and Tommy. This is the first time we've actually seen it with Adam and Rocky. But, you know, I could also see where Adam takes the kid as the main focus simply because the kid is being bullied. Bulk and Skull aren't bullying any of the kids or anything like that. They're just being stupid. Whereas the kid's being legitimately bullied. So for Adam, when you look at it from Adam's perspective, he's just looking at, oh, these guys are just being silly, but this kid could really use the help.
At the same time, I still think it's a wasted opportunity.
You could have had Rocky do that, you know.
Given how basic Rocky is, having him train Bulk and Skull would have actually been really cool and would have helped to like establish their physical prowess that could have been, you know, useful later on when they join the police force or when they become the real heroes of the franchise. And it would have been good for Rocky's character development. Maybe he becomes the person who is like, hey guys, I know Bulk and Skull are kind of bumbling, but they're really nice guys. And like, Skull is actually really into Civil War history. Like, there could have been something because by the time we get to the new cast, in Turbo, who like barely have any idea who Bulk and Skull is, there becomes a greater, I would say even larger disconnect between the Rangers and Bulk and Skull. It would have been cool if they had at least like two friends outside of the whole Ranger mess, because what we really don't see in Power Rangers, with a few exceptions, is the toll that being a Ranger actually takes on you. We see more of it later on, but these are just like happy-go-lucky kids. They get to, you know, kick some butt in spandex. And I get this is a kid show. I fully acknowledge the 90s did not care about things like character development or you know, adding a dose of realism into a fantasy-based like franchise purely created to sell toys. But there was potential. But anyway, let's get back to this episode. Adam is really good with kids. That's another good character trait. And he is... We see this later on in his episode in Space, where he's actually willing to mentor people and be a guiding hand and like be there for his friends and be there for others. Zed basically wasted like half the episode with this whole mirror shtick. Goldar attacking Adam with the mirror was a good tactic, but like was Goldar just planning to sort of stand there like a nitwit and hold this mirror until Adam crumbled or something? Like, what was the end result? But what's really interesting here is that, but I will give Zed credit. At the very least, he switched to psychological violence instead of like, here, let me send a monster to disrupt your cookie baking festival. And Adam, Let's see. And then he sends a new monster. That's actually kind of a brilliant plan. You take out one ranger while keeping the other rangers distracted with an ugly hyena monster. Kudos for at least trying something different here, Zeddy boy. The monster is kind of a skeleton ballerina hyena thing. And it, oh, for some reason I have this crack that says this Ernie secretly Zed, mostly because I think Ernie was at the juice bar looking over Tommy as he worked on his hyena homework. Like, that would have been a plot twist. Really, Michael? Nothing about Ernie being Zed, my cool, fabulous, amazing new theory that makes absolutely no sense, but is brilliant nevertheless?
That's why I just stayed silent, because it makes no sense.
But it's brilliant nevertheless.
Yeah, throw that at Ben and Brian and see what they say.
That is my one ridiculously unrealistic and implausible headcanon, and I will fight for it.
Well, I mean, and Brian will counter it with the fact that the headcanon that Ernie was always Zordon.
Which is equally plausible to my Zed theory, because we never see Zed and Ernie in the same place.
We never see Zordon and Zed.
Exactly.
Zordon and Ernie. Yeah.
Ernie is both Zed and Zordon. Think about it.
You know, we never see Zordon and Zed in the same place either.
I mean, Zordon secretly being a bad guy would have been really interesting, but that's not the way you want to end the Zordon era on. So we learned that Adam is actually doing good with Sean, and the one-on-one attention actually really helped the kid improve. But what's interesting was that Zordon senses that Adam is in trouble and is going to do nothing about it.
Yeah, he's going to be in trouble.
And the other rangers are at least like, oh my God, we need to help Adam. And Zordon is like, no, he needs to do it on his own, which, like, not really, he doesn't actually. Like, he could have broken this. The thing is like, yes, he does break free himself, because the mirror, purely perchance, that the mirror tells him a regret that is not actually a regret. It's a source of pride. But that's like coincidence. We don't really know what's fueling the mirror or how it works. So the Rangers arguably could have wasted 5 minutes, or at the very least gotten the like scared Goldar and got broken the mirror, and everything would have been fine. Would have been 2 seconds. Maybe 5 if there's a fight with Goldar, but the mirror would have still been broken. Like, there is, it's really stupid, I'm sorry, to have Zordon be like, ah, yes, Adam is in trouble. Can we go help him, Zordon? No, he must do it on his own, because plot said so.
Yeah, it works in Adam's favor, though.
I know, but still, it would have been fun to actually, like, what I'm noticing in these two episodes is that they are very Adam-centered, which is great because Adam is amazing. But this also has potential to help build the friendship that he has with the other Rangers. And we don't really see it, at least with Rocky. Rocky's just kind of there.
Hi, I'm Rocky.
Yeah, exactly. Like, this is another opportunity where you could have gotten Rocky to do something. Like, maybe they send Rocky to monitor Adam, and he's the one that is breaking through to him. Like, you have so much potential. Okay.
Well, not only that, but the other thing is that, like, this also carries the consistency on Adam, where they've been utilizing that character flaw of, like, insecurities. Because he's always shown, like, the insecurities of himself and some self-doubt. So, like, this kind of builds some consistency on that, which is always nice.
Yep. So, let's see. Doo-doo. Alpha's building that cool, shiny new cannon. That was a cool cannon.
I actually have that cannon sitting in my closet.
Of course you do.
So, Ben, Jordan, and I... we went down to Wilkesboro, North Carolina for Wilkes Comic Con. And there was a vendor there. They had old school Power Ranger toys in the box. That's the key thing, in the box. I was able to get the original 1993 Megazord and the 94 Power Cannon. And I will say this, if you put the original 93 Megazord next to today's like legacy line from Bandai, the size difference is totally noticeable. But it's also kind of cool to have the power cannon, which is kind of cool.
Yeah, so back to the episode, but that is a cool story. The Rangers arrive and somehow automatically know the monster's name, and we never heard it mentioned. But details. Adam breaks free of the spell. I'm still not sure how the mirror managed to show him a regret that hasn't happened yet. In the sense that, like, we don't know if, like, realistically, we don't know if Adam's teaching this kid, I'm sure, Sean, that was his name, is a regret or not. Because I think no matter what Adam would have done, even if the kid doesn't instantly become better, he still wouldn't have regretted trying to help the kid. So the fact that this shows up as a regret is just ridiculous. They use the cool cannon, and there something to note is that this episode doesn't actually have a Zord fight in it, which was appreciated. Yeah, that is all I got. Two Adam-focused episodes for the win. Also, it's completely coincidental that my notes for Mirror of Regret are written in green, because Adam becomes the Green Ranger in a couple seasons.
Yep. Which brings us to our final episode of When is a Ranger Not a Ranger? And it's time for everyone's favorite segment, In My Mind, the quick run through, which we begin at school, and Adam is showing off a kaleidoscope. And Adam's just getting shown like 3 seconds into this thing. Ben must be really pleased. Zed's going Shakespeare on the henchmen. Putty's attack Tommy, Kim, and Billy, and Zed turns the kaleidoscope into a monster. They morph and the monster scatters their brains and they don't know who they are. At the command center, Adam, Aisha, and Rocky are briefed on Billy, Kim, and Tommy's situation. They teleport to the park and they find them and they tell them who they are. Goldar arrives with the putties and they teleport to the command center. Adam comes up with the idea to use prisms as a way to counteract the kaleidoscope. At the park, the Rangers teleport right in front of Bulk and Skull and they can't believe it. They're also disappointed. And then Rocky and Aisha morph into the delight of Bulk and Skull. Adam and Billy arrive with the prisms, but Adam gets hit too by the monster. Bulk and Skull see this, and that Billy and Adam are hit by the, or Billy and Aisha, Rocky and Aisha, sorry, that looks like a B, it's really an R. Rocky and Aisha are hit by the monster too. Bulk and Skull step up to the monster to defend the Rangers. And they save the Rangers. Zed makes the monster grow, Thunder Megazord time. The Rangers defeat the monster. And then at the Youth Center, Bulk and Skull gloat about saving the Rangers to no one else's belief. But Kim and Aisha give Bulk and Skull some confidence, saying they believe them. And that is how you end the episode. And this is why I say this one is like, should have been a Ben episode, because this is the ultimate Bulk and Skull episode.
Mine. So let's talk about Bulk and Skull first. They freak out, like naturally I'd freak out too if they saw a monster, but they realize what the Rangers were trying to do. And instead of focusing on the Rangers' identities or anything like that, they decide like, no, we need to help the Rangers. And they do in order to restore their memories. Of course, it comes at the cost of nobody believing them, but I think ultimately that doesn't matter. It matters to them, but I think this is one of those things where at the end they sort of realize that like, yeah, it's great to have people believe you, but we did a good thing.
And not only that, but their brains were also scrambled a bit. So they don't actually remember who the Rangers are. They just remember that they saved them.
That's true, because they did finally actually see them unmorphed, but then they can't actually tell anybody because they forgot.
Yeah.
Poor Bulk and Skull. But what's interesting is that what happens in the beginning of the episode actually carries over. But this time it happens in a really cool way, because Adam is, again, this is like the Adam trilogy, but he is doing this report on light refraction. Okay. And Miss Appleby, so Bulk and Skull clearly have trouble with traditional learning. because they don't understand what's happening. There could be for a number of reasons, mostly because I think Miss Appleby's kind of a jerk. First of all, she's a terrible teacher. She doesn't assign work that is actually meant to challenge any of these students. She's just there to pass out these cookie cutter 5-year-old lessons that I did in middle school. Like, give a report on your hobbies. Write 500 words on something that you really like to do. Like, if these are the assignments you're giving to high school kids, like, there is no way any of these guys got into college, okay? Or at least not a good college. I'm sorry. Because Miss Appleby's a terrible teacher. I hope the other teachers are good. And unless this is like a specialized like course that Miss Appleby's teaching, which I highly doubt, she's just unhelpful. And Bulk and Skull, like, she's like, granted, we don't know what kind of a question Skull was gonna ask when he raised his hand, but Miss Appleby just like shot him down. But it seems like we know they're not stupid. They know how to use technological equipment, which is, you know, in the 90s is not as simple as pressing a button. They know how to, they know how to do research and do these and, you know, use very dangerous tools like fire, flamethrowers and things. Like, these are not dumb kids. The problem is, I think Miss Appleby's a terrible teacher. And no, I will accept no counterpoints to that. So after school, Kim, for some reason, has the kaleidoscope. Why does Kim have the kaleidoscope? There's absolutely no reason. Oh God, my voice turned Jewish a little bit there.
Kim has the kaleidoscope because she asked if she can look at it.
Right, but Adam's not there. She just kind of took it home.
She wasn't at home though.
I know, that's what I mean. They were outside of school in the park. Anyway, but it's only Kim, Billy, and Tommy because they're the ones that lose their memories together. So Kim just sort of took it with her after school. Like, can I give it back tomorrow? And Adam's like, sure, but we didn't see that on Kim.
That's probably what happens.
Probably, but we don't actually see that. So Kim, Billy, and Tommy are actually the first to lose their memories, which makes sense. They're the three that have been around a while. This is a good opportunity to let the Rangers, the new Rangers, work together as a team in order to help the other Rangers. And we sort of get that. So let's see. Why does Kim have it? Rangers, Kim, Billy, and Tommy and lost their memories would have worked better if we'd seen the others. Oh, this is also something important. I wish we could have seen the other Rangers mentoring the new kids a little bit. In like anything, but it's sort of like, oh, they have these powers just like in the original. Oh, they instantly know how to use them. It's fine. And one of the mistakes, so these three episodes follow directly after Power Transfer. And what I think is the misstep is this trilogy of episodes should have been Rocky, Aisha, Adam in any order. Instead, and forgive me, Ben, for saying this, all of three of these episodes put Adam at the center. And unless the next three episodes, and Michael, you can tell me, focus on Aisha or Rocky, this seems a little unfair.
Well, the next episode is definitely Rocky because it's Rocky who just wants to have fun.
Okay, there we go.
The third episode is When There's Smoke, There's Fire, and that's an Aisha episode. And I forget about Lights, Camera, Action. I think that's like a team one, but there is a little bit about Adam, I think.
See what I mean? Like, don't
see, unfortunately, we've already recorded that episode. So my notes are kind of off into another spot. Fine. Yeah.
But that is where I am. Let's see. So it's interesting that they sort of, like, it would have been interesting if they had memories but no skill, but Billy's still a genius, and so interestingly, so they lost like memories of who they are. So maybe like the monster hit a specific part of the brain that targets specific kind of memories. I don't know. I'm not trying to add science here because this show doesn't know science.
I think I heard Ben somewhere just yell out, "That's not how science works."
Yeah, let's talk about Adam because he is able to figure out what the solution is by himself. And I think this is sort of cementing him as being the secondary intelligent character in the show. It's still going to be Billy who's the primary tech guy. But it shows that Adam is, I think, pretty, he's not quite as smart as Billy, but he's very smart and he's very capable. And him understanding light refraction and that, I still can't pronounce that, and what the best strategy is to fight this monster and restore the Ranger's memories is actually really cool. Also, Bulk, so I have a note here. It says, Bulk and Skull realize they were played with. 2 seconds later, they'll forget about it by the end. And this is before I finish the episode. But Adam is their only hope. And then the real heroes of the show, Bulk and Skull, manage to restore the Ranger's memories and save the day. And this is the second time they did something heroic, or the third time at this point.
Yeah.
They get blasted, but, you know, the prison refractors, restores the Ranger's memories. And Tommy praises the Rangers for saving them instead of Bulk and Skull. Like, I'm sorry, you are just a jerk, Tommy Oliver. There is no excuse for that.
And I think that's one of the reasons why Kim and Aisha later on go and say, hey, we believe you, you know, to give Bulk and Skull that confidence boost, because they're probably like, you know, these guys are probably the ones that really saved us, not the other way around.
Yeah, and they actually offer some kind words to the rain, to Bulk and Skull. And it was very much, it was necessary. Although, there is one very thing I have a problem with. There is a description of something that Bulk says, and he compares it to a lynch mob.
Oh.
Yeah. It's the 90s, but like, come on. Do you know, like, were the writers like, we need to something horrific to compare this to. Can we compare it to the Holocaust? No, that's going too far. Let's compare it to the lynch mob. That's totally better. Like, what is wrong with people?
Just an old 90s racism.
Oh my God. Like, as soon as I heard it, I was like, what the fork? Why would you do that? But yeah, that was a really bad choice of words. Shame on you, writers. Shame on you. So thanks for playing as the saga of the magic that is Adam Park is preserved, because over the course of these three episodes that we've just recorded, we have seen Adam deal with insecurities about dating, deal with insecurities about his own prowess as a fighter, as a person, as a ranger, and then almost save the day, but still technically saves the day because he's the one that had the idea to use the prisms. He's the one that brought the prisms to the fight. But the ultimate heroes of this last episode are Bulk and Skull.
So with that, Sasha, where can the people find you on the social medias?
As always, you can find my lovely self at geekgirl101.tumblr.com. I am the only one of the power voices from the grid people, Power Rangers, our ranger team here that is actually actively on Tumblr. You can
I
also
have
find
Tumblr. Me- I just don't, I'm just I just have everything from the
actively
website automatically
on Tumblr. Actively,
I have everything on the website just automatically post it right there for you. So when you do your
his
activities,
he is there in bot form on Tumblr. Okay, people, and of course you can find me on Twitter at Geeky Kaplan, Kaplan with a K after the greatest power, the greatest Power Ranger. No, after the greatest superhero in the Marvel Universe, Billy Kaplan. And I'm on Instagram at Geeky Captain. I post pictures of my cat pretty much. So feel free to follow if you like cats. I'm not a crazy cat lady, I promise. So with that, Michael, where can the people find yous on the social medias?
Wow, that got really German really fast. And for the record, she only has one cat. Because I've seen the photos.
His name is Mr. Darcy.
Yeah. You can find me on the Twitters at the Lindenbaum75. Facebook at facebook.com/x75productions, Twitch doing the video game thing at twitch.tv/themichaelx75, and of course everything's on the website at txhthockey.com, and for the show specific /vftg, and obviously on Twitter at vftg_pr. So with that, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, two adults who just took a kid show way too seriously. And until our next more phenomenal episode, may the power protect you.
Bulk and Skull are the real heroes of the show!